day.
It is not in my purview to talk about classified information, but we feel quite confident we could deal a serious blow to the Iranians.
All right, Ron, one of the central themes of the vice presidential debate in Kentucky. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America tonight. How you doing out there? Getting ready for another weekend? Did you watch the sparks fly between Biden and Ryan? Did you learn something you didn't know? Did you decide on voting a particular way? Were you an undecided that said, man, now I know which direction I'm going? I doubt very many people felt that way, but maybe you got a glimpse into something that you didn't see before with Ryan, or maybe, you know, you're a Democrat, you're sitting there, you're saying, wow, we are getting hit to the mat after the Prez had a crappy performance last week, and Biden has lifted the Democrats right back up again on his back with a solid performance against Paul Ryan. I'm going to give you my thoughts in a second, and we're going to zoom in a couple of different directions here for this hour of ATN. But you can ring in and throw in your two cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or americatonight.net. Paul Ryan, addressing the Iran thing, had this to say.
They say the military option is on the table, but it's not being viewed as credible. And the key is to do this peacefully is to make sure that we have credibility. Under a Romney administration, we will have credibility on this issue.
Well, somebody better do something, because I'll tell you what, on my hit list of people I wouldn't trust, Ahmadinejad has been there from the very beginning since I started doing America Tonight. And even before that, we know that he's nuking up no matter what they say about power, and somebody's going to have a hard line stance against him other than these tepid sanctions that aren't doing much of anything. So the Iran question is huge. It looms. It's hanging in the balance. And if Israel decides we've had enough and the threats are enough and they decide to strike, then we are all in on this and have to figure out where we stand on it. For as much as we do not want to be sucked into the sands of time again in the Middle East, we are cemented there at this point, still trying to get out of Afghanistan, which there is an end date for that, for better or worse, and leaving behind, though, diplomats, and also the question of Iran and regime changes and all these other places, like what's going to happen with Egypt. So Israel's worried. I mean, Israel's concerned, and they should be, because they're at the heart of it, and they're pretty small when you look at the territory, but they have a mighty military. However, they also have powerful allies in the number one superpower still. We can still say we are the United States of America. This is why all this conversation about Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel and how does he relate to Barack Obama and all that kind of stuff, because it's significant, very significant, those questions. Speaking of the Middle East, since I started down this path, the question that I wanted to hear the answer to with Biden was the Libya strike. So the moderator, Martha Raddatz, who is, this is her bag. She's covered the Middle East. She's covered the State Department and war areas for a long time. And that's what she opened the debate with, a question about the Libya strike, because that's about a month ago. And Ryan jumped on it immediately, criticizing the administration for waiting more than a week after the strike to say, hey, guess what? It was a terror thing. You know, because they were trying to avoid that whole September 11th anniversary deal, which it was. That's what it was. But they didn't want to, I don't think they wanted to go there. They didn't want to call it that, because up until this time, we had avoided any blowback from September 11th. But this was a big one for Americans dead, including the ambassador. It was a terrible, terrible day. Biden said that what Ryan is talking about with the Obama administration was just a bunch of malarkey, and not a single thing he said is accurate. What Ryan said is that the problem with, again, the problem with their with the policy with Libya is that they waited for over a week before they did come clean and say, yeah, this was a terror thing, making the reference to that film. So Biden was quick to jump on Romney for making a political statement on the night of the attack, and he was referencing what Romney was criticized for in some corners of the world for his criticism of the U.S. Embassy in Cairo's response to the protests there, when on the question of why the administration initially claimed the attack was the result of a protest, Biden said the intelligence community said that. So he's saying, look, they told us that's what it was. You asked us what we believed it was, and we told you what it was. We told you what it was. So, you know, there was clearly they were going back and forth right from the very start. Just to give you a little factoid out of the gate on the debates, 82 sometimes, 82, 84, something like that, was the amount of times, rather, that Biden interrupted Paul Ryan when he was speaking. You know, clearly he had a problem with that. I think interrupting him or shaking the head and reacting to it would be fine somewhat, except for it was just too much. It became too annoying. You know, it was too much. He couldn't, and Ryan just focused. He just tried to focus it. So, the you know, they talked about Medicare. Medicare is something we'll talk about. I think the key themes were the Libya deal, what's Iran, which we started out with, Medicare, talking about the stimulus, talking about policies, talking about tax cuts. Pretty much all of it was fair game. Fox News did a national poll of likely voters. They showed that Romney now is edging Obama 46% to 45%. Fox also has Paul Ryan winning this debate, but so does CNN. And there are others that have Biden winning the debate, but just by a narrow margin. So what do you think? Did Biden do his best to lift up the Dems? Did Ryan come through? Was it kind of an even deal? Was it kind of a draw? Did it feel like that to you? And some issues it did. But I think when you debate, there you clearly, even if you go the distance, you have to pick a winner. I mean, somebody wins. If you're debating, as you know when you do debates in high school, somebody wins, even if everybody's excellent. Somebody wins, somebody loses. So you pick a loser, you pick a winner. Who was the loser this time around, and who was the winner? All right, we get two presidential debates, too, on the 16th next Tuesday, and then on the following Monday on the 22nd, and that's it. And then we are headed to the polls before you know it. If you haven't done the absentee ballot stuff, and if you haven't done early voting, then I hope you go and vote no matter what, because to me, that is one of our most important freedoms. No matter which way you play this, I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, I hope you go and vote. Meet me on the other side. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. cases, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, October 11th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,769.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,813.46, $906.73 for a half ounce, or $453.36 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,813.46, $906.73, and $453.36.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
My name is Gary Johnson. I approve this message. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote failure back into office again. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
November 6th and the 7th and the day after that, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, talking about the debate, but we're mixing in some other things as well. Whatever you say, it's all up for grabs as we head into another weekend here. Let's go to Ray in Missouri. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm good. How have you been?
Oh, just chilled down a little bit.
That's good news.
We're getting a little bit of rain, and it's a little bit cooler.
Cool.
How was your trip?
Oh, my trip was great. Oh, Ireland was incredible. Are you kidding? I don't think I've ever been any place that was quite that green, and the people in Ireland are so nice. And there's castles everywhere, and history every place you turn.
Yeah. I would really like to go. My family's from Germany. I think same, pretty much same with the landscape and the history. But Ireland's someplace else I would like to go.
Yeah, you know where you need to go? You need to go next year. They're having a thing called The Gathering, and they say even if you have just a little bit of Irish blood, they're inviting everyone back. Or even if you don't have Irish blood but you want to be Irish for a week or a couple days, that's the place to go. It's interesting that you mentioned Germany. I met some guys that were German who had just gone to Munich. They were German-Americans. They had gone to Munich, and then they had come over to Ireland, and they said that both were spectacular to them.
Yeah. Well, my family's from Germany, and when Vietnam was going on, my father served in Germany, and that's where I was born.
Oh, there you go.
So I'd really like to go back.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I was working all night during the debate, so it's all crazy talk. Never know what these guys are doing.
Yeah, it's all crazy political talk. Yes. You never know what these guys are doing. You're absolutely right. It was like a boxing match. It was really about sparring back and forth. You know, both Biden and Ryan are skilled politicians. They've, you know, Brian has been a congressman since he was 28 years old. He's 42.
In fact, that's a bunch of malarkey.
I think as far as politicians go, I think Ryan probably has more experience than the presidential candidates because of his time in office.
Yeah. You know what? He definitely does, because Romney was a governor, and that was it for him. And Obama was in the Senate, and really, pretty much when he got into the Senate, he was running for president, and he was a freshman senator. So, sure.
Yeah. And how about that libertarian? I keep hearing ads from him on your show.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Gary. He, you know what? I know a lot of people that covered him in New Mexico, and they swear that he is just an honest, nice guy who really has the heart of the people, you know, in his mind. Gary Johnson, his name is, and he was very, very popular in New Mexico, and he's trying to shake things up, and I think he'll get some votes, but the problem is, how do you, you know, you got the two-party machine, and it's pretty tough to upset that.
Yeah, what I'm trying to decide is whether, if he gets the votes, who wins? Who's he going to take the votes from?
If he gets the votes, it could be, he could take votes really from either party. Maybe more Republicans, though, because of the fact that the true definition of a libertarian, smaller government, all that stuff. I mean, even the definition of libertarian. And Gary Johnson is a former Republican. As I said, he was the governor of New Mexico. So that's his background. But his views are definitely libertarian. I think that he would take some of the Republican runoff. Yeah.
Yeah, and that hurts Romney.
Yep.
So, either way, still.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, we got 26 days before the election.
Oh, that's... Yeah, it's really, in dog years, it's a day or two.
I know, I was just going to say, it's scary how time flies. I mean, do you believe it? That means we're out of October almost. But that's where we are. And time does. It sails. And we're already at the 12th. We get past this weekend, and we have a couple of weeks and a few days left in October. And before you know it, that's how we arrive at that. We'll be talking about the election, a couple more debates, and that's it. Ray, thanks for the call. Sally is listening to us in Washington State. Hello, Sally.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, two things. I watched the debate tonight, and I knew that the Democrats were going to send Joe Biden out to be the attacking dog. And I watched the debate with my sister and a friend. And to us, Joe Biden wasn't an attacking dog, but in my opinion, he was more similar to those laughing hyenas in the movie The Lion King. Did you remember The Lion King?
Yes.
And the goofy hyenas that were laughing?
Yeah.
And I also felt that he was discourteous. I don't, you know, with all that grinning and interrupting, I thought he was discourteous. But what I called about was the moderator, Martha. I don't know what her last name is.
Radich. Yes, Radich.
Okay. She upset me greatly. I'm a Gold Star mother. I lost my son in Afghanistan in 2009. Mm. He was a hero, and he was a combat controller. And then my young daughter signed up a year later. She was already a nurse, and so she went over there as a flight nurse and just got back this Wednesday.
Well, and, thank you for his service, and he is a hero, and also for your daughter as well. That's terrific. Two in one family. Wow. Serving.
I know. It was very hard on me. The thing I want to talk to you about before I get to the moderator is my daughter. Do you know what green and blue is? Green is the soldiers we train, and blue is the American soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, right?
Yes, I've heard that.
Okay. Well, you know, Al-Qaeda has infiltrated, and on June 30th, this is what upsets me about the Libya incident, too, because on June 30th, I got a call from Afghanistan from my young daughter, and she said, Mom, there was green on blue, and she had to explain to me what it was. And she said they got a hold of machine guns, they went into the barracks at night, and they shot our soldiers. And she said, she's a flight nurse, so that means they go around Afghanistan, pick up the wounded, and take them to the hospital. She tends to them in flight. She said, Mom, I had 23 wounded soldiers on the plane, and they were all crying out for pain medicine, and I was the only nurse. And they usually work in teams of five. So, and it just got worse through the summer. That was June 30th. So this really upsets me that they didn't give, you know, when my understanding is they didn't even have bullets in the guns, the Marines that were trying to protect the ambassador.
Right.
And they asked for help. So, I mean, we had a lot of soldiers die over the summer. There was like only four incidences of green on blue and last year. And we've had over 30 this year. So do you see what I'm saying? It's getting terrible.
It is getting terrible, yes.
But the moderator upset me during the debate. When she described our soldiers, it was just at one point. She said, she described our soldiers burning Korans and peeing on dead soldiers.
Yeah.
And I got very upset.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like putting a magnifying glass on somebody's face and, oh, you got a pimple or something. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Is that how you describe our soldiers?
Right.
I mean, according to Time magazine this summer, they're committing suicide one a day.
Yeah.
And for her to say that, that upset me greatly.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you in those statements. There's no question about it. I can't tell you how much I feel for all the people and really hold in high esteem the people who have served the country. And so often with, you know, not looking for something back, this is what they want to do. And to, you know, to character assassinate an entire group of people over a few people. And also, as you said, because of the things they're seeing and what they're dealing with, we've had many soldiers on and we've talked to many people about things that should be happening in the government. Sally, I can't tell you enough how much we thank your family for what they've done for the country, and sincerely how we care about the soldiers and how we should embrace and care for them, help them with their mental health issues when they come back and are scarred, and get them employed. For goodness sakes, hire a vet. Hang with us.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world.
Camel milk has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there, too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits, far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best-kept health secret ever.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you storing food? Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Overfloweth. So we're going to go to the snail mail. Charles is in charge. Charles is in charge, like I said. So he's going to get a taste of
you
the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Exactly. And we've got mail. Mr. Sadler, we have mail, and we're going to go to it in our next segment. We're talking about kind of a mixed bag. You know, it's funny, I've talked mostly about the debate performance. After Obama fell down the last time around, the pressure was on Biden, and I said this heading into it, the pressure was more on Biden than I think Paul Ryan, and except for that Ryan's job was to try to prevent Biden from just hurtling over him and pushing, I guess, the Obama message, not to totally crash into what Romney's saying and what he's trying to do as he's campaigning, meaning Biden to thwart their attempts, if that makes sense. So Ryan, you know, pretty much halfway through the debate, referred to the fact that he had the burden. He said, "Mr. Vice President, I know you're under a lot of duress to make up for lost ground, but I think people would rather or would be better served if we don't keep interrupting each other." It's very strange, you know, that he interrupted him 82 times. And I know I've said this probably, you know, 4 or 5 times now, but that was excessive. I guess that was the idea. The idea was to just keep laughing at what he's saying and, you know, interrupt him. But I don't know that it was effective. Some people might disagree with that, but I don't think it was the effective way to debate. And certainly Biden is a career guy. He knows how to do this. Here's the bottom line. Will people run out and vote in a certain direction because of this vice presidential debate? I'm going to say no, I don't think so. But were there little shreds of information that came out of it that might be something that somebody's keeping a mental note of? I think so. Because the spectrum of topics that they talked about is what we knew. You had Iran, you had abortion came up at the tail end, you had the voucher system that was discussed, the whole Medicare thing, because Biden said that the Republican ticket would raise costs for the seniors. They pretty much would have a voucher system where you would have to decide whether you were buying it or not and how could you afford it and blah, blah, blah. And that, you know, his big quote probably was, their ideas are old and their ideas are bad and they eliminate the guarantee of Medicare. So, in just a handful of days, while all this is going on, Romney's picked up some momentum in some battleground areas and in national polls. Some of the latest polls have him actually beating Obama by a percent or two. So to me, that means it's a draw at this point. If you talk to policymakers like I have been doing on the side, you don't get a clear-cut sense of what's going to happen here because now you have the Obama people saying, well, polls don't matter. But they were saying a month ago, polls show that Obama's ahead. So they know that the polls do show something, that it could be tight in some places. And it might not be such a layup. It's all about the Electoral College, folks, and you and I know that. Who gets the most votes there is the person who wins, ultimately. So the 270 is the magic number, and right now, Obama would be the guy who has 270, and it's up to Romney to take that away. And to take that away, he has to have a lot of people that come out and vote for him. A lot. Meaning, the whole thing about women don't like him, they got to like him. There's got to be people that go out and change those numbers. So across the board, he needs to mobilize people. That's why he keeps hitting some of those key places, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, etc. So in the end, in 26 days, we'll know. Either the Obamas are staying in the White House or they're moving out come January. The thing that might have gone under the wire a little bit, and I want to kind of give you some odds and ends here, because, you know, believe it or not, it wasn't just the debate, the vice presidential debate that was happening, and I bet you at least 50 million people watched that. But one of the things, and I've been court watching, because, hey, let's not forget our executive. We've got our executive branch, our legislative branch, and our judicial branch, right? So affirmative action was occupying a space at the Supreme Court this week. The University of Texas and quotas, race quotas. And they're saying, court watchers are saying, Chief Justice Roberts has switched his vote, might have switched his vote, to join the liberals in the healthcare case. But he's not doing that when it comes to affirmative action. And what was interesting is retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was in the audience for the oral arguments. Roberts and the other conservative justices just ripped through the rationale that O'Connor had in her 2003 opinion upholding race-conscious admissions practices. The conservatives didn't have the numbers 9 years ago, but they have them for the challenge now to the University of Texas. In the 2003 decision, it was a 5-4 vote, and the vote was for the ability of the university admissions officers to consider an applicant's race as one of the factors in getting into the school so that they would create mass diversity in the entering class. Ooh, such a slippery slope, affirmative action tilting in too far in one direction, especially in this case. So anyway, so midweek, the big thing was Fisher versus University of Texas, and this is a girl who had great grades, didn't get in, and the reason why is because she wasn't the right color. She wasn't part of the program that was installed there. She would have missed the cut, and that's what it was. And, of course, it was awful because she, her whole entire life, she wanted to go there as a young girl. She wanted to go to the University of Texas. So when she went in, she was one of the applicants for 2008. 90% of the seats were already filled with the auto admits, and the admission office rejected her. So she sued, arguing that the policy violated her constitutional rights to equal protection. The lower courts felt that the university's affirmative action policy was consistent with the 2003 decision, the Sandra Day O'Connor decision, that that you had to consider that diversity. You had to consider the diversity card. But Justice Kennedy, who is probably the key vote in the case, is definitely, if you look at his writings, he says the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. And I agree with him. I agree with it. He doesn't believe that the use of race in university admissions is always unconstitutional, but says he's voted to strike down every affirmative action policy that has come his way. So you look at that at face value, and Fisher could not get in because she wasn't the right color. So this is a big decision because this could change some things at universities, not just the University of Texas, but some others as well, in trying to decide, you know, are you at the top of the class or you have some good grades, but you also fall into that minority sliver. And if you do, that's going to help push you over the top to get you in. So this is an important decision. If any of you have kids that are getting ready to go to school, or just for affirmative action in general. At the time, affirmative action across the board so needed. Now, places where it's being used, like at the university level, so dangerous. Because the fact is that a leg up is a leg up, except for when you are clobbering everyone else and you're not getting academically. Why wouldn't you? It should be colorblind. Why wouldn't you just get the best of the best as far as any of the students are coming in? Why wouldn't you want to get the best that you can possibly pick out of the pile? And this is the problem with the policy. This is the problem with it. And I think that it is declared unconstitutional. I think they're going to declare it unconstitutional, and then there's a chance that in the future somebody in that same situation, they won't necessarily be denied. Although the school is tough to get into these days, so it may be first come, first serve. Coming up on the flip side, the mailbag. But if you want to throw in your 2 cents on any of the stuff we've been jawing about, you can, 855-266-8. 855-266-5283.
every day. Nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant in your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it says. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
Of hot opinions on the debate. Jeff says, what a dope. Biden just said he refuses to impose the Catholic Church position that life begins at conception on devout Jews and Muslims. Of course, devout Jews and Muslims believe the same thing. Jeffrey says, Paul Ryan, glad to see Eddie Munster has found some work. Kevin says, Martha tricked Ryan. He cannot impose his understanding of church teaching on a pluralistic nation, period. How about this one from, let's see here, from Buddy, who says, moderator rocks. Oh, we have differing opinions on that one, because I think that Martha Raddatz kind of allowed Biden to take control of the debate with the constant laughing and the constant interrupting, just annoying the crap out of probably all the conservatives that are watching the show. Jeff says, so Biden is getting me PO'd with his infantile behavior, but I wonder if it's working to energize the Obamatrons. Then you have Beth saying, Biden polite. I don't count making faces, interrupting, laughing, polite.
In fact, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah. How about this? Gary says, what did Joe Biden have for dinner? Answer, Paul Ryan. Leslie says, I think VP Biden's kicking butt tonight. And then Melanie says, Paul Ryan is kicking Biden's butt. Jeff says, Biden looks and sounds like a guy who is off his meds again. All right. How about that? So some hot opinions. Who's leading the debate? Who won the debate? Biden, rather, or Ryan? A lot of people think Biden did. A lot of people think Ryan did. The scorecard shows, though, Ryan in a lot of these polls just slightly ahead. One last one for you. Lisa didn't hold back on her hot opinion. She said the choice is much clearer after tonight's VP debate. A rude, cocky old man with fake hair and teeth, or a respectful, smart young man with great vision and a passion for our country. We move now rapidly down the hallways of our expansive studio, our satellite facility in Texas, while the rest of the crew is up there in Minneapolis. We head to the mail room to check the mail.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail is here.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Oh, that was sweet. Charles is in charge, without a doubt. I like it. So, mail time. Our first one here from JoJo, who says, man, I wasted too much time on that lousy debate, Kate. I would have to say I could not get into it. Not for Paul Ryan, not because of what he was doing, because I was sick of the mocking, the arrogance, the nonsense of Joe Biden. You know, I wasn't a Biden basher, but now I have to say I'm the number one fan of bashing Joe Biden. I think he was outrageous. Was he drunk? What happened to Joe Biden? This can't be a positive thing for him to have done. This one from Gene, who says almost the same thing. I could not get past the constant laughing in a mocking, arrogant, and condescending attitude. Biden turned me off. I don't see how I could vote for this man to be a heartbeat away from the presidency. I think this strategy will be negative for Obama. Yeah, it was. I think it was negative, too. It was just over the top. If he had done it a few times. Perhaps. But he didn't need to have any kind of a beer summit before he got on the stage. He would have been better off if he hadn't done that. Because it was odd. I don't know. I thought it was odd the way he kept doing that. The way he kept interrupting him. It was too over the top. That's what it was. All right, this one from Christy, who says, oh, Kate, I am so sick of the politics. I'm glad you mix in other things. You know, when I listen to shows during the day, I don't understand why you don't take their place. You're 10 times better than them on your worst day. That's nice. I guess that's a backhanded compliment. I honestly think you could replace the great one, and I know you know who he is, because I like the fact that you mix in a lot of different things. I'll say it again. I can't wait till this political season is over with. I know who I'm voting for. Everybody knows who they're voting for, so why do we constantly put up the charade? You know what's interesting? I had on the show last week when I was in Ireland a political reporter, Lisa Hand, and she covered the Republicans and the Democrats last time around and said she'd never seen anything like it with the balloons and the spectacle, because she covers Irish politics, the Republic of Ireland, and says, you know, you can talk to the president, you can talk to other members that are there just over coffee. They're not blocking you. They're not guarded so tightly you can't have an off-the-cuff conversation. And I think she's right. It's part of the pomp and circumstance of what our political system is, however. All right, how about this one from Richard the Fifth, who says, top of the morning to you, Lassie. I'm sorry, I had to get that in there. I really enjoyed what you had to offer from Ireland. It sounded like you had a great time. Did you read this stuff about Sandusky and the fact that he gets to keep his pension money? Why did they not rip that away from him? All right, thanks for the note. Yes, Sandusky is going to be able to keep $900,000 in pension money. He, of course, is part of Pennsylvania's public employee retirement system, so that's how much he got. He received it after his 1999 retirement from Penn State, so they're not going to get him to repay the money that he got. And the reason why is because the state's forfeiture law doesn't authorize them to go after money paid before the date of a plea or a conviction. But he's not going to get his $60,000 annual pension following the conviction and the sentencing and the child sex abuse scandal. So that's it. Anything, any of the money coming in is gone, done. Ugh. Imagine the rest of his family dealing with that. That's the thing. I mean, even distant relatives, yikes, awful. Let's move on to another one. This one comes to us from Dougie. Dougie says, Kate, I know that you were flying to Ireland. You came back. Did you by any chance fly American Airlines? I think they are shooting themselves in the foot with the way they are treating their passengers. I have a story for you about American Airlines. So I flew to Ireland, yes, on American Airlines, and flew back on them, and it was fine. It was smooth through customs. Ireland, they do a great job in Dublin. But I had a layover in Chicago. It was supposed to be a couple hours, and it was. Get on the plane, it's crammed. People are upset because they can't find any space in the overhead bins, any of that kind of stuff. But that, okay, so that aside, everybody gets down, they have their stuff up, the plane is going, oh geez, it's going to be an on-time arrival, isn't this great? We get to the edge of the runway, and they say, a light's out, this is not a joke, it has nothing to do with all the stuff you're reading in the media, but we cannot fly this plane with this light out, so we're driving it, we're taking it back in, and they take it back in, and lo and behold, they have to ground the plane, empty us out. We got to wait for 2.5 hours. So that layover that was supposed to be 2 hours turned into 6 hours. Yeah, it was ugly. I think I read every magazine and book that they could have possibly given me in the newsstand there at O'Hare Airport. Be careful if you fly American. You might have a long wait.
Do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking. That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.